Amy, any final words of advice for our players out there?
Yes. Get good.
Wow, Amy. Wow, that's pretty aggressive. But if that's how you feel. Welcome to Ink a Podcast, Play a Podcast.
A classic turn one play. I'm Amy Orr.
And I'm Matthew Orr Bridges. So here's a question that I've been pondering. Are there limits to being competitive in this game? And now you may answer, and this will be a very short episode.
No.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. That's our time. No. So when you are in a competitive environment, when you are at a competitive tournament, are there limits to how competitive you should be or you should act? So, for example, at a set championship, do you allow takebacks?
Oh, that's not what I meant to do.
Yeah, you know, like if your opponent, you know, plays something, or if your opponent inks a card and then 5 seconds later is just like, oh no, I didn't mean to ink that card. Oh no, I shouldn't have inked that card.
Oh, I wish I had a hard and fast rule for
when
I do that and when I don't. But it's basically, if I'm feeling good,
it's vibes based, right? It's,
like, yeah, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm still gonna get you. then I'm like, do it, man. Let's see what you got.
Yeah. So it's definitely context dependent, and context within the game dependent, not necessarily the tournament, not necessarily at a set championships.
Yeah.
I think there is definitely a point where you're like, all right, I mean, I'm at the DLC. I'm not going to let you take that back. If I'm at a set championship and it's round one and it's turn one, I'm probably more likely to accept any sort of takebacks like that.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
I think, and there's also a little bit of me that's like, I never want to be a jerk. I never want to be mean. And it feels like if you enforce the rules a little bit too by the book, you could come off as a little rude to a certain extent. And I think that is not a great perception, but I think that's also a very common perception. Like, okay, fine. I guess we're playing by the rules, you know?
So, to my detriment, I am typically a very vocal player where I will do something and then I'll be like, well, shoot, that was stupid. And I'll keep going on. And my opponent will be like, well, take it back then. And I'm like, well, dude, I've moved on. What are you talking about? Or they'll be like, you know, I'm sorry you did it. And I'm like, yeah, I know I did it. Like, I'm just talking.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it's always an interesting situation for me as someone who is always vocal when I mess up.
Yeah,
hearing how people will react to that, you know, so
it's interesting because I am very vibes based and it's very context dependent on whether or not I'm going to, you know, be a rules stickler. There have been certain instances where my opponent has made it very clear that they did something out of sequence. And, you know, when they were plotting out their turn, they were like, okay, first I'm going to do A and then B and then C and then D. And then they accidentally do B first. And that means that they can't do A. And sometimes my opponents are very vocal about that. I'm thinking of one instance in particular at a set championship. And he was like, I was supposed to do this first. And it was like one of the last turns of the game. You know, and it was one of those things where it's like, okay, well, if he did A and then B and then C and then D, I do not win next turn. I don't know if I'm going to lose, but I definitely don't win next turn. And so, you know, it was a much longer time frame, that whole situation lasted much longer than I think it would have for me. Like, if I had been the one to make the mistake, because I think he was fishing for me to say to take it back. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought to myself, because I had enough time to think to myself, if he asks me to take it back, I will let him take it back.
Yeah, that is often what I do, is I'm like, I'm not going to offer it to you.
Right.
Like,
right.
If you're going to undo what you just did, you're going to mm-hmm. ask me for it. And yeah. I'm going to graciously give it to you.
Yeah, I'm going to get a little bit of points here in the karma column. You yeah. know, like, yes, yes, you can, you know? And I think because that was going to be the last turn of the game, we were round 3 in a 5-round set championship. It's not the most competitive environment, but it is technically a competitive environment. It's one of those things where, listen, man, we're going to play by the rules until you ask me if we don't have to.
Right.
And I'm not saying that that's always going to be the case for listeners. If you play against me, no, I'm not always going to grant takebacks if you ask me for them. But
oh, sure.
you know, like, but I...
Like, if it is going to straight up lose me the game, no way. Like, you should have mm-hmm. played that better.
Like, right, right. Well, and there's been several instances where I felt kind of bad and where I'm like, going into one of the last turns of the game, you know, I pass turn and I'm like, oh, do you have the Madam Mim Fox? And they were like, yeah. And so I'm like, oh, yeah. And then they made a mistake. They made a mistake in something that they did. They quested when they weren't supposed to. They bounced the wrong thing. I don't remember the context, but I was like, oh, did I goad you into doing that?
I hate it when you ask me, because it's you when you ask yeah. me if I have the, because mm-hmm. my absolute instinct is don't answer him.
Well, now I don't wanna.
But then on the flip side, I'm like, I think he's saying if I have it, he's done. And but then I'm like, well, why even say it? Because if I have it and he's done, then I should just wait till my turn and be done. And so it's a horrible thing that you do. You're a terrible person.
You gotta, I'm not doing it maliciously.
No, I know.
with if I ask that question, I don't know that within the rules I can explicitly say, show me the goat and I will scoop.
Right.
But that is what I'm asking, you know, like,
yeah,
listen, I'm going into the tank right now because I have a 1 in 40 chance of drawing it out. Don't make me do this.
Yeah.
We can just move on.
Yeah.
You know, but to a certain extent, you know, like, make your opponent play it out. You don't know what they got. And there have been several instances when I have had like the win in hand, I'm at 19 and I have a goat in the hand and they have no way of interacting with the cards in my hand. And I'm like, I mean, I got this, but I also don't know what you are playing.
Right.
You know, I don't know what 60 cards are in your deck. And so very well, there could be an out for you that I don't realize.
They've got that, what, Donald? Is it Donald?
I don't know.
Hold on. What? Is it Donald? Hold on. Hold on.
Stop asking me. I don't know.
Hold on. I'm looking. Opponents need 25 lore to win the game. Donald Duck. Flustered Sorcerer.
Yes. See. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if you're playing that card.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you know I have a goat in my hand, you know that that is your one out. And your play might be different depending on that information. And so, anyway, my point is that it's context dependent whether yeah. or not you're going to, you know, play by the rules or not. And I think, I don't think anybody will disagree with the fact that I don't know that many takebacks are happening at a DLC, right? Or at Continentals,
right.
Or at a World Championship. I don't know that takebacks are really happening in those instances. Set championships, I think, are a gray area because it is the highest level of competition that happens at a local level.
Right.
Inside a store that you probably play Tuesday nights. And I'm going to allow all the take backs on Tuesday nights. Tuesdays right. are the freebie days, you know, like take back whatever you want. And I wonder if that level of familiarity that you have with your local game store because of weekly leagues changes people's perception of what a set championship is when you're playing on the weekends, right?
Oh, like, because you're at the same place you've been
right
1,000 times, and now you're supposed to take it to a different level.
Yeah, you're supposed to take it more seriously. There are more people there. There are different pricing, you know, like it. You have compartmentalized this feeling of this casual feeling when you're playing in a weekly league that you kind of have to dismiss a little bit when you're playing in a set championship because it is a more competitive tournament, right?
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm overanalyzing this, but it has come up time and time again. People's disconnect of what a set championship is and how people should act during it and kind of what the expectations are. And I think that that plays into kind of a welcoming environment for the players because everybody is going to have a different level of what they consider to be competitive, and everybody is going to judge each tournament slightly differently based off of their perception. So for someone who is not interested in the competitive side of the game, you know, they go to Tuesday nights, they have their fun, I don't know, knights deck, they have their fun allies deck, they have a franchise deck, right? Like maybe something that is not competitive, but it does function. It has like this fun combo to it, you know, whatever. If that's the level that they want to get to, if that's the highest that they want to play at, and then they go to a set championship and they want to play that still, them running into the competitive player who says, well, set championship is really like the best opportunity that I have to practice for challenges. I think there's going to be some tension between those two types of players. But I'm curious about what contexts people have for set championships that may differ from my own. Every single set championship, we have Facebook posts about people being unhappy that people who may not necessarily be store regulars are showing up to that store's set championship.
Right. Yes.
Right. I think it's a little, it's, I don't know that it's calmed down after eight or after five set championships. And like the promos aren't really worth as much as they used to be. I mean, Stitch was insane, Ursula to a certain extent, but ever since then, the promos haven't really been worth all that much. And so the idea that people are going to be like traveling to smaller tournaments, smaller stores in order to snipe the cards or the playmat, I guess is more the issue since there's only one now. We see that complaint happening every single season. And I wonder why that is the case. What messaging is happening that people feel as though you should be almost locked to your specific store?
Yeah, I don't know where that would be coming from. I think that the stores, for the most part, are happy to get more people in, right?
I would think most of them are. And I know that there's, I mean, there's obviously different areas, and I don't know that any of these complaints are really coming from our local community. And in other communities, there have been, I mean, there's complaints on the other side also, where it's like, this store is charging me more because I didn't attend three of their leagues and that right. was their rule. Or, I mean, this did happen in our community where, like, there's a store that has enough room for 32 people, but limits it down to 8 and says, we're only going to run an 8-man tournament for our set championship.
Which was insane when there were 4 promo cards. And now that there are 8, it's like...
Right. And 40 promos. Right. 40 participation promos, you know? Like, so, I mean, like, we do have a store in our area that does that. And it's a little... I don't love it. I don't love it. But I guess my question is, are there limits to how competitive you can be in a explicitly competitive tournament?
I just don't feel like, I don't feel like there are. Like, right. I think that you are paying to play.
Mm-hmm.
And if
you not in the pay to play way that has a different connotation. you right. mean you are physically buying into a tournament.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay.
I just want to head off any hate comments. We're paying to play. We're all paying the same entry fee to be there.
And you know, I could maybe see some saltiness to like a you pay one entry fee for the season and then you just keep winning everything based on that one, you know?
Yeah.
But each and every time you are saying, I would like to play in this tournament. Here is my money. I have created a deck. I did all of the things that mean that I get to play.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Well, and also I think the general question, the more specific question, the opposite of a general question, mm-hmm. the more specific question, I think, is this idea that has been floating around our community and I think other communities is, should people who have top eighted, top foured, won other set championships be allowed to play in the rest of them? Or should they be allowed to win more than one set championship? I saw this on Facebook, which is just an endless source of drama. There was somebody who was being pretty salty about it, who was like, well, I don't like it when the same person wins multiple tournaments, and I just don't think that that's fair. And the idea that they had was, there should be another more competitive tournament that's less competitive than the DLC and more competitive than a set championship. And I said, that's a great idea. Someone should make a podcast episode about that. Shout out to episode 3 or whatever. But his idea was like, the winner of a set championship should qualify to that tournament and then be disallowed from the other set championships. And I'm like, oh, you lost me. You should have stopped talking after the first sentence, because I very much dislike the idea of making the field easier in a competitive environment.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about, okay, so we have like, let's say 10, just for ease, set championships sure. that we can go to. Yeah. So the first weekend, the best or luckiest win and then aren't mm-hmm. able to play the next weekend.
Right.
And then the best or luckiest that are left win the next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And until at the end, you're like, what did I win?
Yeah, it just, I wonder if it's a, if it's like an intrinsic versus extrinsic reward structure that people have, right? Where you see this a lot in video games, where people are either motivated by the reward that you get in the game, or they're motivated by their own feeling of accomplishment. And So I could totally see, and I think that this does happen, where you go to a tournament and nobody, like, everybody is worse than you. I'm not saying that this applies to any of us, but maybe you go to a tournament and you realize, okay, I'm definitely the most experienced player here. And you win material rewards because of that. You win booster packs or whatever. You are being rewarded with physical product, but you're not really being rewarded with, like, a sense of accomplishment. And you're also not learning anything. If you are obviously better than all of the other players there, you're not getting better at the game yourself, right? So with this idea of, like, limiting the number of people, limiting the number of good people, good competitors who are able to play in your championship, you're, you know, take your 10 tournament example. It gets easier and easier as the season goes on in order to qualify for this bigger tournament, but you're also learning less and less and less for each tournament that you go to. And so by the time you're at your 10th one and, you know, the 9 best players in the area are now barred from playing, and you're like, but they're the ones I need to beat.
Right.
There's also this side effect where in our area, set championships also have additional prizing. So the deeper you get into a tournament, the better prize support exists. And so it's like, well, I don't want to win the first one because I want to keep playing and win prizing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
For the other 9, you know, like, I don't want to be barred from playing in the other events because I want to play in the other events. I don't necessarily just want to make it to this hypothetical next tournament. I want to also practice all the way up, gaining booster packs, gaining store credit, gaining whatever. And then I want to compete in the next tournament, you know? And so, like, it's this weird incentive structure where I could totally see the finals being whoever wins loses, where the two finalists make an agreement where it's like, okay, neither of us want to win. I guess we have to play it out to see who wins the right to concede so that we're not barred from the other tournaments in the area.
Oh, which interesting. Is
so weird, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know that that would happen very often, but I don't like this idea of, because you are good at the game, you shouldn't be able to play as much. And that's what it feels like it comes down to. That's what it feels like they are trying to do. Because I really hate this idea of, like, I mean, I think the word entitled gets thrown around too much when it doesn't apply. But I'm but starting to think here, in this instant, it does apply here. Because it's like, what do you mean you're mad at the person who already won a set championship? Do you think that they cheated? Because that's an entirely different issue. Do you think that they don't deserve their previous win? Because that's also an entirely separate issue. If you're mad at them because they were good enough to win a previous tournament, and now they're here trying to do the same thing, I don't know that you have much room to, you know, much room to be there, a leg to stand on for your disdain of their presence. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, no, the leg to stand on is their entitlement.
They want it.
Entitlement to win.
Yeah, they want it, and they think, oh, that guy has already won one. I haven't won one. That guy is better than me. That's not fair.
He shouldn't be here.
He shouldn't be here. People who are better than me shouldn't be here. And you know what? Same. But I'm not mad at them for that. I'm mad every single time I go to a tournament and I'm like, oh God, this guy. Okay. I guess I have to try today. You know, or I see my pairing and I'm like, oh no, they're so good. why couldn't I get an easy round? You know, I feel that too. But also there's a little bit of me that's like, okay, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to beat him.
Yeah,
I'm feeling good today.
That's like, really,
I'm 3-0. I'm on a hot streak. I'm gonna do it today.
That's really where the focus should be. If someone's there who has already won, like,
take them down. Yeah, like, take them down in the game. Prove that you are better than them. Even if you don't win the whole tournament, prove that you beat someone who won one of the tournaments.
Yeah,
and then complain about luck for why you didn't win yours, you know?
Exactly. Like,
that's the true card game player way. That's what I mean when I say I wonder if it's because the people who are complaining are motivated by the extrinsic rewards,
right,
that are given at these tournaments. They are motivated by getting that playmat. They are motivated by getting the booster packs that come with making Top Cut. They are not motivated by the intrinsic desire to get better.
Okay,
hold on. In the same way that some other people are.
Hold on, I have it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
If you have already won, you get a bounty mat. Like they play,
yeah.
Some of these tournaments have been doing. So mm-hmm. that then, even if you are extrinsically motivated, you have a concrete, there it is, way to be motivated.
I love the idea of the bounty system.
I think it's
amazing. I think it's super fun. And it's fun in a competitive way. It is an explicit way of saying, this person is really good. I bet you can't beat them.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, okay. I guess I will be goated today.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that that's a really great idea. I don't know logistically how that would work.
I don't know. Maybe it's not a mat. Maybe they're given
like
some promo cards or something.
It's a lot of responsibility to put onto a random person.
But well, I think that probably the person wouldn't be responsible for it. Maybe the stores are given like bounty cards that they will use if a winner is there.
You know, here's what I was thinking. And I think it's kind of a middle ground. Because I also have another question, which is, what do people do with multiple playmats? I don't understand. I want one, and it's not even to use. It's to frame. Because you know what? I have my own playmats that I like. I mean, I'm looking at my set championship playmats right now. They're in frames. They're hanging on my wall. And they're cool. I mean, they look nice. But also, I have two custom playmats that are custom. Because I like them better, you know? Like,
yeah.
I didn't get a custom playmat of Jafar because I don't like Jafar as much as the custom designs that I put on my playmats, right?
Yeah, it is very interesting. You know, I worked very hard for my Ursula playmat because I desperately wanted that playmat specifically. And then I have a custom one. And my Jafar champion mat is still in its original wrapping, just sitting there.
I think the idea that you are going to like the next playmat more than the playmat that you have been using is not an assumption that you can make. I know a lot of people do use their champion playmats. Literally have never seen a Mirabelle playmat played. So I think that there's going to be some difference in the quality and the perceived value of a certain playmat. But my point is, you can only play with one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like this person who goes to multiple set championships and wins multiple mats, they're only playing with one. So, like, what are you doing with the others? I mean, maybe, you know, like if my wife also played the game, maybe she really likes Jafar. Okay, cool. Here's one for you. Here's one for me, right? Maybe you're selling them. And I think that that's completely fine because this is an expensive hobby. This is a very expensive hobby. you should be able to fund it by winning. I think that that is the purest form of competition in a way, right?
Well, and also, like, some people just want to collect things that they can't earn themselves. So, like, this is how they're getting them. And yeah, I think that's fine.
I think that is all fine. If we agree that there is an imbalance with the way that multiple people can win, or one person can win multiple set championships, I don't know that we all agree on that. But maybe in order to create a welcoming environment, maybe what we do is kind of a middle ground between barring the competitor entirely versus a bounty system, which is we just do a pass down system. And
yeah,
hey, Ravensburger, get your play hub put together. But maybe in play hub, it denotes if somebody has won a set championship. And so, if they have, they can still play in the tournament. They can still go as far as they want to. They can win the tournament. But it just like with the world championship qualifiers or the continental qualifiers, if you're already qualified, then it passes down to the next person. And maybe we do that with the playmat.
That was what my question was going to be, because is that all they're complaining about is the playmat? I mean, I guess it might be, since now there's only one and people are like, oh God, the playmat.
What else? Are they the only other thing that I can think that they're complaining about is the fact that, yeah, well, who cares?
Yeah.
These people do, but I'm sure some people do, but like it has to just be, the playmat is the physical representation of winning, and there's no benefit to bragging rights on the champion.
But if you got second place, but because of a pass down got the mat, would you still be running around bragging about it?
I guess that's a fair point. I guess I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of the person who's upset about these people.
And well, okay, in that situation, they're like, well, that guy shouldn't have even been here, so I won.
Right. Well, so in my mind, yeah, they only care about the physical reward.
Oh, right.
Because if they had this intrinsic motivation to be better than everybody at the tournament, then they would want the most competitive people there, right?
Right.
I feel like that logic tracks. The only flaw in that logic is if they truly want to be the best person there and they don't want competition. Like, they want to be the best person there, but they don't want to try for it.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to be it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we should cater to those people. Once again, I don't think that those people create the environment that we want to encourage. Because for all of the flaws that hyper-competitive people have, they are very clear in what their goals are. They have a goal, and it is to win.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the less competitive people, the people who are not necessarily driven by competition, they have a lot of different goals. And we kind of got to compromise on tournaments like set championships that those two groups of people are likely to meet at. The people who are going to the DLCs, they understand the deal. The deal is to be as competitive as possible there.
The
people
DLC.
Who are going to League, huh?
No. Go ahead.
The people who are going to their league, you know, you could get some hyper competitive people there, but even then I kind of think that the most competitive people are probably not going to their leagues as much. They're probably testing in their teams. And the competitive players who do go to their leagues understand that it is a league tournament. So really the only location that these two players meet and have a disagreement about what type of tournament they're in is at the set championships. And so maybe the compromise is to do, a runner-up playmat is what the compromise is, but they're not doing that anymore. So let's do a pass down. The point that I'm trying to make overall is, one, I don't think that there's a problem. And two, you should want more competitive players at your tournaments. Because that is the only way that you are going to get better. It's like in high school English class when you have to self-review all of your classmates' papers. That's great for a first pass, but you're only ever going to be as good as the best person in that class. And it's the same in tournaments. You need to play people who are way better than you, because that's the only way that you yourself are going to get better.
Fact.
All right. I've calmed down. I've said what I've had to say. And I think that's it for today.
Never mind. I was going to say neither of us have won multiples. And maybe that's true. Have you won multiple?
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Do you think that that changes things?
Well, we're just definitely not talking about ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, but we have each won a set championship and then played in others.
Actually, I don't think I have. I think I've won the last one every time.
That's so funny. I think that's only true for me once. I won the first one of the season and then continued playing, but only like a couple more.
Yeah, because I think then you switched to a different deck, which is all the, like, I don't know if that's something normal for people, but like, yeah, you switched to a different deck and you did something completely different. And you were like, well, now I'm trying to win with this one.
Right.
Sorry, I'm not trying to like jump right back into it, but.
No, that's fine.
You know, there's different things to be done at different tournaments.
Yeah. Well, and like, I won the first tournament of set 5 and then I switched to a different deck and played it in other tournaments and lost. Like, me winning one of these tournaments does not mean, I mean, it took me 4 tournaments before I won one at Reign of Jafar. So it's, I mean, like, the capability of winning a tournament does not mean the certainty that you're going to. Yeah. So just another reason why we shouldn't be barring people from winning multiples or participating in multiples.
Yeah.
It's a good addendum.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep these thoughts just keep cropping up.
Yeah, and another thing, we're right in a different way. All right. I've said what I needed to say. Everybody just, I don't know, appreciate competitive players more. Amy, any final words of advice for our players out there?
Yes. Get good enough to be controversial.
Excellent. I'm definitely going to just clip that so you say get good. Wow, Amy. Wow. That's pretty aggressive. But if that's how you feel.
Man, I liked what I said and you're just going to cut it to me saying get good.
Man, we slid back into me. That was accidental. Maybe that's what we'll do instead, is I'll set you up for something and then edit you to say something different.
That's funny. So disingenuous.
I don't know. You said it. I have it in a recording. Anyway, follow us on socials. We're going to be better at it. But we are starting to post things on our website. So if you want to go to incapodcast.com, you can see all of our episodes so far. And we have a new section called the Inkwell, that's inspired, where we're posting articles. So go check those out. We have some good starting post-rotation decks that you can take a look at, those deck lists. Take a look at the 60 cards in each one and modify them for your own metagame. And be on the lookout for other articles posted there. Amy is finally going to take over our social media accounts. And
yeah, because that'll be great.
That was the deal. That was the... that is what she said she wanted to do.
I don't... That doesn't sound right.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't sound like something I'd say.
I'm pretty sure you said that you wanted to take over our Twitter account.
Oh, getting worse.
Yeah. And I said I would be in charge of our TikTok and our Instagram.
Oh, no.
And that you would be in charge of our Twitter.
You've got it all wrong.
Was it the other way around? I mean, you can take our TikTok and Instagram and I'll take Twitter.
It was I was Instagram.
Because you were Instagram.
I was.
Because you wanted to post memes.
It's not that I wanted to.
So be on the lookout for Amy's awesome memes.
I'm just going to steal them from other people.
Be on the lookout for Amy's theft. yeah, we're going to try to be better about that. So, you know, like, comment, and subscribe. Smash that bell or whatever.
And be sure to comment that my idea about there being a bounty mat is the best idea.
That was my nickname in high school.
Bounty mat?
Bounty mat. All right. We gotta go.
Yeah. I don't want to know how you earned that.